Dale's back.
Yay! Fucking finally.
Yeah. It's good to be back.
Welcome back to Club Flashpoint. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm not doing... You got to do the rest, Dale. It's on you.
I don't know who I am until I hear from other people.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I have to be reminded.
Well, allow me to begin anew again for the first time on this month of this year. Welcome to Club Flashpoint, a monthly video game podcast where you get to listen to us, particularly me, Dale Flashpoint, they, Faden Cross.
Hello.
And our dear uncle, who has joined us yet again.
Well, uncle's an official.
Uncle's an official. What?
Yes. Joining until I get lazy.
This is until we die. We're making a blood pact.
Yeah.
Afterwards, we got to cut our hands and like... form together like a tower
again.
A blood enhance again. Yes.
Okay.
Wow.
We have to re up the contract. It's like getting your vows renewed,
right?
Because podcasting is as sacred as marriage,
at least.
In Club Flashpoint, we play one main game, like a book club might read one main book.
Yeah.
But you know, video games are aplenty, so we play some different games.
Yeah.
What about who wants to go first? What game did you play beyond this War of Mine, which
Faden
is the main game we'll be discussing?
Yeah, everyone's looking at me. So I played, I'm getting into my fight zone, I'm playing Street Fighter VI. And I'm having a lot of fun. I have a coworker who also plays. They are master rank with Akuma, and I went 0-20 fighting them.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun. I haven't played much Street Fighter. The most Street Fighter I played is probably Marvel vs. Capcom, which...
Gonna take you for a ride.
The third one, though, not the second. And... I guess for those who don't know, Street Fighter is a game where you just fight people on the street.
Oh! You know, okay. So that clears to... never mind. There goes my question.
There goes your one question, Uncle.
How good are you with the America's Finest William Guile?
Oh, bad. I'm really bad with Guile. I've tried about every character, and I have landed on Rashid is my favorite. I like to do big jump kicks in the air. I like to do a big... sand whirlwind to mess around with my enemies.
Pocket sand. But
well,
advanced.
Pocket sand, but what if you also summon tornado?
Right.
Tornado pocket sand.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's just good fun. I like fighting games generally. I'm okay at them. I'm not good. Usually. But, yeah, this one's tough. It's nice having a player who's way better than me trying to teach me the ropes on how to do combos and special attacks and punishing me for all the stupid moves I do. Yeah.
Accidental combos, I think, are all I've ever been able to pull off in a fighting game.
It's hard to slow down.
Oh, yeah.
That's the first lesson you got to break out of yourself. You got to be deliberate with everything. You don't want to just spam it because you have no control.
Sure.
And you'll just get wrecked. But also, if you can't do anything, you're also screwed. So, don't have much options. I also like playing as Ed, who doesn't kick at all and just punches things. Just a different hand is corresponded to a different sets of buttons. Ed's a lot of fun. I like to do some dash punches, some uppercuts. He's a goth twink boy. Twunk, more like that. Yeah, twunk. goth boy who's like, yeah, I'm edgy darkness boy. Isn't it cool how edgy I am?
Are you a fan of the quarter circle or the half circle? Or the double forward back circle?
Like, yeah, you're talking about combos?
Yeah, I'm talking about combos.
Depends on the character.
I just mean in general here.
I mean, I like
Would you rather do a quarter circle half turn to a double kick punch, or would you do
Yeah?
Yeah.
No, do you want to keep going?
No, I think I've hit the end of that one.
I'm a big fan of quarterback circle, you know.
Okay.
Going down to the corner, down, and then back.
Have you ever broken a controller?
No. Well, depends on what you mean by broken.
In a fighting, while you're doing a fighting game.
I mean, I've broken triggers for hitting triggers too hard.
Okay.
Does that count? I don't get mad. I like losing. Losing is fun.
I was more inferring that you might, implying that you might be using a certain intensity. Because I know that
just
when
so
I do fighting
good.
Games,
yeah,
it's like crazy.
Yeah.
When we play fighting games, you know that I am one to mash the controller and get really excited.
Mm-hmm.
I've never broken one yet, but I feel like I've come close.
This is why I'm kind of thinking about getting a fight stick.
Okay.
Which, bad life decision, but you know, it kind of sounds fun to play on a stick with big buttons.
It's arcade cabinet adjacent.
Yeah. I don't know.
More tactile.
More tactile. Yeah, it feels like I'm in an arcade, a thing I've never done.
Yeah.
That's the other thing. I don't have any special attachment to arcade sticks. I've done it a few times, but yeah, I don't have much to say about Street Fighter VI. I'm just trying to climb that ladder. I'm currently in Iron. Iron? Yes, Iron. Not far at all.
I'm proud of you nonetheless. Those games are preposterously difficult for me.
It just, you know,
I'm just not patient.
I think Street Fighter VI helps because they even have express, like, combo guides.
Okay.
So you can learn how to do the basic
combos
to lead into special attacks and deal heavy damage.
You can
just practice those.
That's
and
nice.
They give you the instructions on how to practice those. And those are useful.
Yeah.
I remember buying Street Fighter 4 when that first came out because it was really popular and extraordinarily well reviewed, and I wanted to try it. I had some passing, you know, play with like some other, like Mortal Kombat mostly, but I was never actually good at it, but I wanted to try it, and I found Street Fighter 4 so impossibly difficult to pick up for me. It was so hard. I could not. I felt really bad. I think I brought it back to the game store like within a week. It did not work for me.
Oh, I guess special origin story for me.
Ooh.
Fighting games is how Dale and I bonded.
Oh, yeah. That's true. Mortal Kombat.
Nine.
On the PlayStation 3.
Yeah. Dale invited me over to play some Mortal Kombat. I never really played before. Dale kicked my ass a lot.
Not for long.
Not for long. Then there's a turning point. Yeah. Then there's a turning point, and then I kicked Dale's ass a lot.
Now Faden is really good.
Hey, at least we're similar in what's that one game we play on the Switch? King of Fighters.
King of Fighters 94, 98,
98. 98. That game's great.
That game's a lot of fun.
Can't wait for Tarion Street Fighter 6.
Oh, boy.
The day after I buy the game, that announcement happens. It was made just for me.
Yeah, it was.
What about you, Uncle? What have you been playing?
This is going to be a big surprise. Totally out of left field. I played, I don't know if you've ever heard of this universe, a Warhammer game.
Whoa.
Yeah. Embarrassing.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I'm so sad. I'm such a sad gamer. We'll talk about it. But I played Dawn of War 2. I've been meaning to get around to the DLC for it, the chaos-themed deal, the first one that comes out, but I just haven't had time to play it. But I played through the full first campaign of that game. It was okay. I remembered it being pretty okay and very frustrating in other ways. I hadn't played it in a few years, and that absolutely is what it turned out to be. It's pretty okay and very frustrating in a lot of ways. It's hard to describe. It's a pretty unique RTS. Or who knows? Maybe there are a ton of games exactly like it. I just don't play them. The first game is like, I describe it like the first Dawn of War is like Age of Empires, but with Warhammer 40K stuff. The second one is a weird mishmash of different RTS games, but it feels kind of like XCOM, but there's no pause button or turns. You take a small squad of characters who each have a small squad that follow them around that you don't directly control.
Oh.
So it's like you'll take a scout squad leader who has a couple scouts that follow him around. You don't control them. You control him. The pathfinding is generally pretty good. Occasionally, it's horrible. The controls are generally pretty responsive and good. Sometimes they're horrible. It's a big chaotic mess on the screen, which is fun to watch and interesting. It's very well animated. There's a lot of synchronized combat between models, and you see a lot of dismemberment, which is very Warhammer. But it's a big mess. Sometimes very confusing, very frustrating. A lot of flashing, crazy lights and things happening on the screen, stuff flying around. Hard to keep track of all your units.
A big spectacle game.
It's a spectacle game. I would say, so what I love about this game, Dawn of War 2, I think, pretty perfectly nails what, according to the lore in the books, what combat is supposed to look like, feel like, as a Space Marine. So if you like doing the Space Marine simulation, playing a small company of Space Marines, that's what this is. You get your commander and your a few squad leaders, and you upgrade them. You kit them out with gear. Everything you put in on the character, you see modeled in some kind of unique thing, which fun. Is always fun, right?
Yeah, who doesn't love that?
I like seeing little extra badges and notches and armor plates on new items. It's neat.
Who doesn't love a trinket?
Yeah, I love it.
I don't want to meet the guy that doesn't love it.
Yeah. You're telling me you aren't a little bit happier when your gun goes from gray to red? Isn't it neat now that it has a paint job? Yeah. It's fun. It's not. It's a game I played this month. the story is terrible. I think it's a great example of a bad Warhammer story.
Why is it bad?
Because it's like, yeah, the Space Marines are the good guys.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, some of them, they're fascists. Yeah, their gene purity is really important. And, you know, fuck civilians. And you scold them. You get at least one character who scolds them. And that's about the extent of
the criticism
of those kinds of ideologies.
Is it a lot of soldiers' honor? Like, yeah, the army may be bad.
It's all about the honor, baby. Oh, glory, yeah. And honor. Glory is worse than honor. And it's a lot of glory.
I kind of sort of meant, like, is there a lot of focus on the individual soldiers who are good, even if they work for maybe a bad people, or is it all just painted as good anyways?
I mean, you're good. You're fighting the bad guys. You're all good.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. No, yes.
Okay, so it doesn't even do the one step
what are you
removed.
Talking about? We're the Space Marines. We're good guys. Which is, of course, a lot of people who read into Warhammer, who play Warhammer games, take part in other Warhammer stories, not always the case that they're depicted in that way.
Yeah.
Not necessarily supposed to. They were never initially intended to be good guys.
Right.
But, I mean, as in any universe.
It's grimdark.
Yeah, it's grimdark. People get attached to cool, neat-looking guys, and you want to make your guys the good guys. So
something-something satire, something-something Margaret Thatcher?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, Margaret Thatcher is, yes, weirdly satirized as an orc character, Ghazghoul Magoruk Thraka, who's not in this game, but anyway.
Damn.
Yeah. Warhammer, it's a big complicated mess, and people who don't understand why war is terrible don't really understand what works in these kinds of stories. So the story sucks, it's boring, it's plain, nothing interesting or cool, and it sure is neat to look at sometimes.
It sure is flashy.
I gotta say, I didn't actually finish it, because on very, very, very last mission, I got all the way to the end three times, and the game crashed right before the final boss. All, three times. It's a long mission. It's the longest
Damn.
Mission in the game.
I just,
you know what? I've seen this cutscene.
I'm good.
I don't need to. I'm doing very well in this campaign. I don't need to do the final boss fight, so I didn't. And that's
Hell
my
yeah.
story. Dawn of War 2. Play it if you like Warhammer, maybe. Or maybe don't, because a lot of people hate it too.
I mean, eventually it'll go on Game Pass. Maybe that'd be a good way to try it.
It will be cheap. It's a summer sale. I'm sure it's cheap now.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Now. Well, no, this podcast is coming out soon. But who knows when you hear this?
Yeah.
It could be now, next year.
It could be.
There's always a sale going on.
There's always a sale.
And it's an older game now, so, yeah, think about it.
Well, I've had a lot of time to play games and think about the games that I've played in this month.
Stalling for time?
No, not really. Just kind of building for dramatic effect for no particular reason.
I am sweating in anticipation.
Yeah, that's why we're sweating in here. Well, not that it's a hot box.
Hot box recording studio.
Yes.
I played actually a really fun game. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, good.
It was a good time this year.
This game of yours.
It was a really good time playing this game called Star Wars Hunters. Oh my God, spend all your money on Star Wars Hunters. It wants you to.
It wants you to so bad.
It's the newest freemium. What kind of game would I call this? It's
Overwatch-like.
It's Overwatch-like. That's very accurate. It's 4v4 battles with characters that all have kind of distinct abilities, but also fill a distinct role between tank damage or support.
Hero shooter.
Hero shooter. That's what they're calling them. Yeah, it's like Valorant or whatever.
Yeah.
Or Overwatch.
Overwatch 2.
Overwatch 2.
Or Gundam Evolution.
Team
a game
Fortress.
Everyone loved.
The second one.
I didn't know this was still a genre that was present in the world.
Yeah. And so this one's a wild and wacky third-person shooter that's right now only on the phones and the Nintendo Switch.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got your pretty standard freemium staples. It's got a store where you can spend away a bunch of money if you wanted to.
There currencies?
It's got several
two types of currencies.
Two?
Yep. It's actually kind of low amount of currencies that I think about.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm looking for six or seven currencies.
Three.
Because you got to unlock the hero's path, too, with the hero points.
Well, there's
but
the
then
hero
there's the
ranks.
Experience, which I would say. Yeah, a currency.
That's a currency too. Okay, so there's four.
There's there's a lot.
Four
there's
or five.
A lot going on.
Can I spend money on all of them?
I don't think so.
That's a
basically
shame.
Though.
But probably.
Okay. Yeah.
We haven't explored those avenues.
because we don't want to do that money.
I did spend the $10 on the Battle Pass because I've been playing it a bunch.
Yeah.
And I've almost got the Battle Pass finished, which feels good. You know, it always feels good to get to the end of that $10.
God.
Right?
These
right.
games are awful. This is
it
see,
feels I was good to have the work done I paid for.
Yeah. I love it when I do all the work and I still don't get what I was promised, and so I have to pay to get what I was promised. I love Dark Pathways personally.
Oh yeah, a lot of Dark Pathways in this one. Kind of feels like as this game progresses, each new battle pass is maybe going to bring a new hero.
Yeah.
We don't really know yet.
We have no clue.
One of my hang-ups and why I didn't immediately download this game is it's published by Facebook video game titan Zynga.
Microsoft owns them.
Microsoft owns them now?
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
I just remember them doing like Farmville and all the other.
Yeah, it's the Farmville people.
Dark Pathway legendary.
Yeah.
The
game itself is a lot of fun. This is the issue.
When you're within the confines of that, you're on the team running around the map doing the mission, be it capture the control points, hold all three to get the extra bonus, fight the team to prevent them from taking them from you. There's a dynamic control point which moves across the map. You got to stay together as a squad. There's your regular old standard deathmatch.
A payload mode would be really cool in this game, I think.
Payload would be very interesting. And then they've got like a kind of capture the flag where you want to pick up this little robot and carry it around and hold on to it for the longest amount of time.
That mode sucks.
That mode sucks. It's fun. The heroes are no Star Wars characters you've ever heard of.
Which is that's the other mistake.
They're all brand new. Yeah,
it should be like Luke, Leia, Boba Fett, Darth Vader running around instead of these randos.
I kind
of
like this idea though.
I'm with Uncle. I like the new characters because we're in the Outer Rim. We're doing this kind of bounty hunter game show type deal. I love this cast of colorful. If there's two Jawas standing on top of each other's shoulders, running around with
the gun. Jawas
in
a trench coat. That's which so is cool. Good. That is legitimately fun. There's an Ugnaught that has gutted out
a droidica.
Yeah, and is riding like a mech.
Yeah.
It's a good way to avoid the worst of the fans, too. People who are going to say, well, this guy should always beat me.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Fuck that.
This is why I say you should do something like that.
Lando Calrissian would never
fuck him. I mean, Battlefront does it, and that's fine. Nobody cares that much.
You're not wrong.
I like the OG heroes, the OC heroes, I mean. This OG is my original heroes. Character. This is my Star Wars OC,
Have your goth girlfriend that you love.
Oh, yeah, there's a Sith user. There's only two lightsaber users right now, okay. And Reeve, she has the...
That's a great name.
She has the coolest, Sith face paint, and her hair is all, shaped side on one head.
I mean, she's a bargain bin Ventress, but sure.
And she's got a really fun moveset where you can hop around and deal some damage and throw your lightsaber, do the boomerang thing.
Has, 10 health. Is the
she is a glass
squishiest
cannon,
character
yeah.
ever.
It's good. It's a lot of fun. It's free. Don't spend money on it if you don't want to.
I recommend just not playing this game because it could make someone a whale.
Yeah, especially if you have addictive tendencies, but anybody can.
Anybody can.
Anybody can.
The dark pathways. Yeah. And also, I've almost accidentally purchased things a few times.
There's a couple of splash screens in between loading screens that are like, hey, here's a package, buy it.
It's awful.
Yeah.
But it is fun. And I'm sad because Gundam Evolution was canned, and so now this is what I got. Give me my Gundam Overwatch back.
Well, I think that brings us around to a new point in time on this podcast, a point in time where we talk about one game we all played, and that game is called This War of Mine. I'm going to let it shine.
God,
this little war of mine. I'm going to let it shine.
That is the full title.
That is the full title, yep.
Yeah.
So this little war of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, yeah. Let it shine.
You're just going in on the bit, huh?
I think I'm done now. I got it all out of my system.
Well, I appreciated it. What a happy, bright, cheerful game.
Yeah.
Before we start, though.
It had colors.
No. We have to do something.
Oh, we do. It's elevator pitch time.
It's elevator pitch time. And... because you weren't here last month, Dale.
I think I get the honors, huh?
Get the honors. At Club Flashpoint, we like to kind of give an elevator pitch on what the game is.
Want to look up one thing real quick before, just because in my mind I got something.
I'm about to start the clock.
No.
All right. I think I'm ready.
So,
yeah.
You have 30 seconds to pitch this game. Let's say, man, who are you pitching this to today? Who's a fun, gosh, there's just a sleepy Joe Biden in the elevator. You got to wake him up with this pitch.
Yeah.
that's as cursed as I can get.
All right, great.
That's pretty good.
It's awful.
Yeah. That or Putin. We'll talk about it.
No way. Yeah, you gotta pitch. Actually, I'm changing my mind. Yeah. You gotta pitch it to shirtless Putin, but Putin has big tits.
God, okay, we made it so complicated.
All right, on your mark. Get set. Go.
I'm so fucking distracted. What's going on? Okay.
You have game to pitch. Pitch game, please.
It's 2014. Survival crafting is at an all-time high. What do we need more than a survival craft game that teaches you about the struggle of a person in an area of conflict? Because we all know that there are many areas of conflict in this, the year 2014, some of which you might consider to
time.
Be put into a video game.
Yeah, this is about war and conflict, huh?
Yeah.
Uncle, you chose this game. What was your thought on that? So, I'm not trying to call you out. It's just a legitimate question.
So just by that preface, we know that this game was not super fun, guys. I picked this game because I thought it spoke to some of the other games we've played this year in some weird ways. There's clocks. there's survival. There's a focus on civilians. It's about refugees.
About refugees and more about just like civilians under occupation, right? Because
yes.
Refugees would gone from the.
Yes, you're right. Not refugees.
Sometimes there is refugees.
Some characters are refugees.
Some characters are, but I don't think it's about.
You're right.
If I had to quibble, sorry for the being the low action.
It's about surviving a siege in a modern combat scenario.
Right. Very inspired by the Siege of Sarajevo.
And all I really remembered about, I had played it before when it first came out. And it reminded me of some old Flash games I had played on like Armor Games, if you remember that.
Yeah.
And I was like, I kind of liked that game. This you're absolutely right. This is the height of survival horror time, 2014. Survival crafting. Sorry.
Ark Survival Evolved was out.
Yep.
People were playing Rust. Yeah.
Minecraft.
And
is timeless.
I had played it a little bit. I remembered that it was sad, and that was all I remembered about it. And it was my turn to pick a game, so I said, let's do this one. I have this game. I know it doesn't take long to play.
Yes.
Can I tell you something hilarious?
Please.
About ownership of the game. So when I was told, hey, we're going to do this War of Mine, I at the time did not have the game. But in the back of my mind, I was like, you know, when I'm browsing the Switch eShop, I see that goes on sale all the time.
Yeah.
So I looked one day, it was not on sale. I looked like 2 days later, $3.
Bingo.
Hell yeah.
This War of Mine. Nice and
affordable game. Yeah. A very affordable game, friends. And like I said, it plays like an amped up Flash player.
It really does. It really does. You're going to little blips on the map. You're clicking on them to interact with things. You got to make sure you click on the right one. I wish there was a I wish there was a confirm click button.
Yeah.
It's a minimal 2D interface, right?
Yes.
What was everyone's impressions? Like, what did you feel about the game overall?
Overall
thoughts.
Feel?
Yeah. If you want to sum up your thoughts to color the conversation we're going to go into.
There are elements I appreciate. There were moments enjoyed. There were times in this game where I entered a flow state where I could keep playing. And I was anticipating good moments and bad moments. I would have a hard time saying I enjoyed this game. I certainly frequently did not want to play this game this month. And I made myself do that. I picked this game.
This is my fault.
Yeah.
I can't blame anyone this time.
Not because it was so moving or anything like that. It just wasn't very fun. And when it's not fun, it's really not fun. That's my overall vague impression.
Dale?
I'm not good at this game.
Okay, yeah.
I didn't enjoy the interface. I understood it. I think that I didn't spend enough time with it, but I don't know if more time would have caused me to have any more enjoyment. I find myself, and this is not about this game specifically, but like maybe this type of game where there's a very certain, we want you to feel bad.
Yeah.
You like the survival craft where it's just constant dopamine.
No.
But you do love survival craft, so it's weird that this game didn't hit for you.
I don't think it's weird.
That's not necessarily what I was going for. But when games have a like, think about it, like, consequences. Your actions have consequences.
Yeah.
Don't your actions have consequences?
Yeah.
It's
pretty clumsy.
Like, sure, but it's a fucking video game, so I'm just going to turn it off at the end of the day.
I can't wait for us to play Pathologic 2.
Oh, me either.
Oh, that's Jesus. Gonna be... That's... Oh, I can't wait to talk about that game.
But I think I was focusing too much on that, the whole, don't your actions have consequences? Well, sure,
yeah.
Okay, sure they do. And they do play out in real ways in this game, which I thought was kind of interesting. But it's very clunky.
Yeah.
It just, there were a lot of days where I was just kind of running around the house going, I guess I'm just going to wait until night.
Yup. This game really botches it on time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Among other things.
I had a lot of fun playing this game.
Tycoon over here.
What? Oh, yeah, Moonshine Tycoon. Yeah, so, okay. My problems with this game is I wonder if it is valuable if you're making a game about the horrors of war and being civilian war, if you can mechanicalize yourself out of that situation, basically.
Yeah.
You can easily get, like, momentum and just basically not worry about anything. You know, killing isn't a bad thing. Killing only is bad if you don't know how to make people undepressed, which is, well, I have my guitar station, and I have people talk to each other. There, depression solved. I can now go out and kill again.
So, I think you're... Yes.
Faden understood the mechanics.
Yeah, exactly. So, yes. So, this...
War
if,
of mine.
If you are, I think, a you know, if you are organized as a person and in the way you play games... This does become a dramatically simple game.
Oh, yeah. And it's fun. It's fun to base build. I love base building.
Yeah, and I think it hits those notes that it can be a satisfying base builder, a progress gainer. But I think you're right. I think ideologically, I think you guys, to synthesize your points, it shouldn't be possible to get out.
Yeah, like this.
This, to make it easy to... to solve the problems that you face in a situation like this, like you can literally solve them in this game, it probably doesn't hit as hard as it could. But the problem is, I think it's trying to strike a balance between being playable for people like Dale and I, who maybe are not as intuitive with this kind of crafting.
There was a method to it.
Time
I just didn't quite get.
There's a rhythm you have to hit with your actions because you have everything is timed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have only a certain amount of time in the day, a certain amount of time to scavenge at night.
Yeah, you have to sleep a certain amount of time within that time. You have to eat a certain amount of food to keep working, and the less sleep, the less food you get.
The slower they are.
The slower you are, the less the harder things are. It can spiral pretty fast.
Yes.
So if you don't manage to stay on top of those basic needs, this game becomes literally impossible.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is where it does work, because I think that's kind of the point of why a siege is fucking horrible.
Yeah.
Is that any one little thing, like literally, it could be. You couldn't help the little kids down the street whose mom needs medicine, and that made you really sad. And that having a really bad day in an already bad situation makes it harder for you to do your chores around the house. And doing your chores around the house is important if you're going to defend your place at night. And if you poorly defend your place at night, you're going to suffer a wound. And if you suffer a wound, you might get it infected and you might die because you couldn't help some kids and you felt bad about it. I like that.
I think it's really hard to do that for me personally. This game was incredibly easy for me. It's easy to manage the cold when winter comes. It's easy to manage crime when crime comes. The thing you need to do is stealth kill soldiers, have guns. You have people on guards. They shoot guns at people who fire. Like it's just, you got to go solid Snake mode on these people. you got to stealth with a knife
to
and just
thrive in
cut
this
people's
game,
throats.
Yeah. I think you do. But I would say, again, if you're good at that kind of combat, which is very simple combat once you get the knack
it's
very easy for a non-soldier character to take out trained, armored soldiers with not a lot of ammo or weapons.
Or just a knife.
Yeah.
just a knife going in, like Rambo style.
A knife they made.
Yeah.
But again, if you mess it up, I mean, you die instantly in this game.
Yeah,
you can very easily die instantly in this game. And several of my playthroughs, I had characters die instantly from situations I walked right into, and some I did not suspect, which is also something that sucks in war. And I'm a sucker for any story that says war sucks.
Yeah. I
think I'll play this game again. Especially
I liked
after
it
hearing
better the second
two
time
different
around.
Perspectives, hearing that things can be managed a little better.
Oh, it can be managed perfectly.
Can be.
One thing at the very beginning I wanted to do was challenge myself to clear out the house in one day, which I did.
Yeah.
And then I was like, well, now what?
Yeah, I love getting a text from Dale. I don't know what to do on my days during the day. I restart, though, to optimize my run, though. I'm like, well, don't do that. Well, First of all, if you want something to do, don't optimize your runs like that.
I mean,
that.
So the game does not give you much of a tutorial at all.
No.
It does not tell you what you're going to need.
Yeah.
Or what you should prioritize. Because you could play this whole game. You could probably survive every one of the, 10 scenarios they throw at you, at least.
So many.
You could probably do every single one of them without growing any food yourself. You could probably do it without ever making your own meds.
Yep.
You could probably do it. You can do it without killing anyone.
Yeah.
You can.
Killing them's more easy.
Yeah.
And then you manage sadness by getting drunk.
But those things also sound like they could be really important. And so a player who's not experienced in this game.
Yes.
Or doesn't. You know, isn't taught at all by the game, the mechanics, you might prioritize those things for several playthroughs before realizing you don't even need them. Anyway.
No, I agree.
Yeah.
I just think my fundamental issue with this game is it lets you off too easy.
Yes.
You can mechanicalize yourself out of being sad during war too easy.
Yeah.
And I also think another thing that undercuts it, the first thing I noticed playing this game again, because I played this game before, I beat this game before.
Okay.
It was nice playing now, played a few scenarios, beat them, yada, yada, yada. Now, on the Steam store page, this is the thing that bothers me about this game and its politics.
Oh, I can't wait, because I literally have never read anything about these Polish developers. That's all I know about.
11-Bit Studio, they had a fundraiser for the Ukraine war.
I was going to say, 2014, people, this game came out.
Yep. Nothing for Palestinians. Know nothing about that for Palestinians who are going through the same scenario that Ukrainians are.
Yeah.
And I find that interesting, the type of prioritization of whose voices in war are important. Yes. And it's definitely
white
Europeans.
Yes.
Exactly. Yeah. You would think that they would do that if they did a Ukraine thing.
Right.
They would also do the same thing. I would think if they believe in the politics they say. And there's some other weird stuff where some of the endings for some characters are just baffling. I got one.
I haven't seen every ending. I've seen most, but not every.
Did you get the talented lawyer one where she just hates men from now on? She had no interactions with men in my
that
thing.
Is hilarious. No.
She just hates men. That's like her
She got
ending.
Shot right before the end of the playthrough I had with her.
Yeah. It's wild. I'm like, what
wow.
is this? What's up with this? So the politics of this game.
Yeah, some characters are written as just truly obnoxious bad people, and why would you do that?
That stuff is fine. It's more just I don't mind the bad.
Consider
people.
How bad your actions are. Did you think about that? Did you think about how bad?
There are some people who are like, I don't care. You're right. There are some lines where it's like, you know, honestly, fuck them. I fucking hate my neighbors. Go fuck yourself, neighbors, where it is a little weird. It's not exactly that, but God, Bruno's an asshole.
Yep. Which fortunately, he died early in almost every playthrough I had with him, he died early.
I almost haven't nobody die ever.
Wow. I had people die all the time in my first several playthroughs because I am reckless. I'll have my entire inventory stuffed on a scavenging mission. We should probably talk about the mechanics of this game, like how like a day night cycle breaks down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So like you start with the day around your home base.
Yep.
And there are things you can loot there early on and clear out early on to make space for yourself and access more loot.
Pro tip, build an axe as soon as you can so you can have as much wood as possible.
Yes. Wood, axes are great, especially around wintertime when you're going to need wood for fuel, both for food, for water purification, and for home heating.
Yep.
And you need wood for all kinds of home projects. If you have an axe, you can chop down furniture in scavenging missions and around your house.
Oh, cool. Right, because there's all the cabinets still there, and you can chop them down. They're useless.
Yep. So you can loot a cabinet and then chop it.
Yep.
All right.
It's pretty neat. And then, you have this house. You fill it with workbenches, which you use to build things, and you can upgrade your workbenches.
To make people feel less bad about murder.
A guitar to, yeah. But also neat things like a radio, which gives you news updates that do help you figure out which trade. You don't have to, but if you want to be a part of the world that you're playing in, you can listen to the radio updates, which will tell you how the weather's changing.
No, those parts should go somewhere else. What build nights, other things.
What nights are safer than others to go out or stay in? When you should set someone to guard your place instead of just take a nap.
Well, and you can kind of hear, the war's starting. Or the war is intensifying. Yes. Or the war is calming down. International peacekeepers are going to end this war.
Which helps you understand your progress in your playthrough and how long you need to stretch your resources for. So the radio is nice.
Yeah.
It also gives you music stations to listen to a maximum of, four or five songs you can hear?
Something like that.
Not
many.
Yeah, I do like
there's like a number station channel, I thought. I thought I heard like weird like
talking. Yes. At the end. Yeah.
Yes. Creepy.
Of one of the dial ends. Yes. Really creepy.
I read Creepy Pasta. Number stations scare me.
So there's that stuff.
Spies.
You can get a chair. You can build a chair. Nice, comfortable chair for your characters to read books in or smoke cigarettes in.
Oh, one issue I do have, another thing with the politics.
Yeah.
I think the game asserts that to the citizens, it doesn't matter which side is doing what.
Yes.
Which I think is weird. I feel like people have opinions on the politics of both government and the rebels. I don't know why this game doesn't have any of that. There's nothing. There's no politics whatsoever.
None of the civilians have an opinion about either side.
Right.
It's weird.
It's not even like a both are bad, but I'd rather be under this government or that one. There's no conflict that arises from that between other characters who might be differently. Even some people who are drafted that have fled or gone AWOL. They don't really have that strong opinions besides, they were making me do stuff, and I don't like doing stuff, being told like that.
So I would be willing to bet the developers of this game consider themselves apolitical.
I don't think they are, but I think they consider themselves apolitical. It's hard.
I feel like these people would call themselves apolitical, judging by this game. Like, because there are no politics in this game outside of war bad.
Right. And there is an inherent ideology of, citizens do suffer the most under war.
Yeah.
There's the Ernest Hemingway quote that's at the beginning when you load up.
Which is good. I think that's not a bad take to have, but I think what's counterintuitive about the messaging of this game is exactly what you're pointing out, which is that you can self-determine yourself out of your problem. You just need to be a better mechanic. You just need to fix things better.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's all individualized, too, and homesteady. Yep. It's not community-based. You get some scenarios where it's like, help our fellow neighbors out. But you're helping, neighbors in their own isolated castles. There's not,
feel like a broad
connectedness.
You only interact with them when they come to you.
And that's another thing. You don't go to other people, really. And you can only do it at night. And sometimes it's very unclear how you interact with people.
Yes.
There's someone trying to break into a bakery, and I apparently warned them, but I also accidentally hit the father, and so I had to kill everyone.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And so I had, like, four lines, like, I'm glad we warned the people at the bakery. Damn, I'm never going to get the blood washed out of my hands. We barely left any supplies for them to survive.
Yes.
I'll never forget this moment.
That's my, like, favorite. Like, oh, God. Man, I could really use some vegetables. I'll take one vegetable out of their fridge, and then you go home. We barely left them anything to survive. I am, like, literally, people overnight get the depressed condition.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's why I just take whatever. And this is where the mechanics don't, like, I feel like it runs counter to what the message is of the game.
And I really hate that you can unsad yourself with alcohol and the hangover consequences barely, it doesn't really matter at all. Yeah. You can literally drink once and forever forget that you murdered a civilian.
A hangover will kill you.
They can, but not in this game.
No. You don't control that character really though anymore.
No.
When you drink.
That, and they'll fall on the floor. That is a serious consequence, but I think it's the wrong consequence.
It is. It's like, I don't want to put bandages on my wounds. I'm like, fuck, I did this in the reverse order.
They will literally say, I'm not putting bandages on. I'm too drunk.
Amazing.
This doesn't interest me.
Yes, this doesn't interest me.
Falls on the floor.
Yep.
That interests me, I guess.
Bleeds out.
The
night cycle.
Night cycle. So you build things around your house, you make better things, you defend it. But not actively. Did you defend well? We'll let you know. It's a roll of the dice behind the scenes.
You know, if you really hit a consequence, just leave the game and come back in, and it'll randomize to a different one.
Harder to do on PC, but... it's
easy to do on Steam Deck.
Yeah. But anyway, Night Cycle, you get to pick one character to go out of your house and do things at night, while everybody else either guards or sleeps.
If they're pregnant, they can only sleep at night.
Yes, and they cannot scavenge at all.
Nope. Or guard.
And you get one person to go out. You decide what equipment to bring with you. You do not have a very large inventory.
Unless you have the large inventory guy.
Unless you have the one character whose whole gimmick is that he has a large inventory.
Strong but slow.
Yep. And you go out to different locations. You have a little bit of information about each one, about like what kind of materials you might find there. Exactly what kind of materials you're going to find there. And how much danger you should expect, which is sometimes not true. Sometimes you'll have no warning. And sometimes you'll have a great deal of warning and it's really not that dangerous.
Yep.
But you pick a location, you scavenge what's there. You may or may not interact with other people who may or may not want to trade with you, ignore you, help you, kill you. They might want to just kill you.
Did you get shot a lot, Dale?
I got shot a couple of times,
It's not fun, especially when you're not expecting it. It's very frustrating, especially when you only have two people to help. So, like, when you get down to one person, you are either going out by yourself and leaving your home undefended, or you're staying at home and not scavenging, which is you can't do.
You can if you're self-sufficient.
But if you've run down to one person... Yeah. Unless you were doing pretty well midway through the game, you're kind of fucked.
My first run was me trying to survive 10 days of winter while severely wounded and severely sick and couldn't move at all and just laid in bed. And I kept hitting skip day and sleep in bed, skip day, sleep in bed, skip day, sleep in bed, just hoping for something to change and nothing did.
Wow. I think this time around, my first death that I experienced was me not paying any attention to the temperature and having someone freeze to death overnight.
Oh,
that
no.
Was, whoops.
Ooh, I've never had that happen.
Whoops.
I've never had that happen.
I didn't notice.
I didn't notice you freeze to death.
Yeah.
Oops.
Oopsie.
How about your runs, Dale?
Yeah, how'd they go?
Bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't really get to expand much of the house. Didn't have a focused method for collecting or gathering things.
Did you collect every night?
I would try to collect every night.
Okay, at least you did that.
I wouldn't really consistently find food, so starvation was kind of a big issue.
I think that's the hardest thing to get the knack of. Is,
rats.
Yeah, eventually rats, but yeah, sorry.
Rats? What?
You can build rat traps.
Yep.
Oh, interesting.
They'll sometimes collect two food.
Yeah,
It's random.
I do like that, though.
I like that,
The food trap mechanic. It's hopefully you get something.
I think trying this game again in the future, I would probably spend more time focusing on trying to upgrade the workstations.
Yes.
Like as quickly as I can.
Especially the main.
The main one, the first upgrade you get, after that, you can start upgrading your defenses, and that
you board things
that
up.
makes a big difference because it, at night, if you do not have a well defended home with people on guard, with weapons, or with home defenses that you've built up, you will get raided and they will take your shit.
Yeah,
And kill people.
And kill people.
Yeah.
Deeply wound people.
It happened to me a bunch.
Yep.
Yeah, it's really nice when you board it all up and then you upgrade your workshop for one final time. You can also get a door that activates an alarm if people try to break in. So basically, everyone can just sleep.
Yes. And once you have a gun, and if, just leave a gun and some ammo at home, you're almost always good.
Yeah. Multiple guns? A gun for everyone? Yeah. A gun in every hand.
Yes.
That's what I'll give people if
you
like me.
If you can. But I will say, another thing I do kind of like about this game, wounds in this game, although they are too easy to heal perhaps, you do have to redress your wounds every day.
Yeah.
So, and some wounds take many days to heal. And if you have a wound that takes many days to heal, you need new bandages every day or else you're not actually recovering.
Or you just have the person sleep all day and all night and that actually recovers them.
Which is hard to do in some playthroughs, but yes, you can do that.
You know.
You can recover them by letting them sleep all day. Harder to do without bandages.
Yeah.
Harder to do without medicine when they get sick. And again, you have to take medicine every day. You don't take medicine and are instantly cured.
No.
You have to take it regularly until you're not sick anymore.
I like that.
Yeah.
Like real life. I like the herbal meds, the James St. Wort or whatever meds you can take.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Minor sickness, and it's like,
might work.
Might work.
Yeah. I do like that. Homeopathy might work.
Might work. I like making cigarettes. Love making a ton of cigarettes.
Yep, to sell.
To sell.
Or for characters who prefer cigarettes, keeps their mental health positive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some big smokers in this game.
Yep, there are coffee drinkers who who get upset if you don't have coffee.
And smokers who get upset if you don't have cigarettes.
Yep.
Gotta get those.
So, I mean, it's a pretty simple game, but
I think it's a lot of fun to play.
There's a lot of nuance there that, on reflection, I do really appreciate. I think it really is the fact that it's not giving us enough of the right message regarding why it sucks to be a civilian at war and who's at fault and what to do about it. And
it feels,
it
feels good-hearted but misdirected.
Yeah, absolutely. I like that it punishes you for being bad, air quotes bad, you know, like not helping people you could help.
Yeah.
That makes you, that you get punishment for that.
Feel sad.
Stealing from people who are innocent.
I stole from them old folks.
You get consequences.
Yeah,
well,
don't hurt my wife. Like, I ain't hurting your wife. I'm just taking
taking your shit.
I'll never forget the first playthrough I did where I stole from somebody who, like, it was that old couple who they couldn't stop me. My character became depressed, and that led to a spiral of consequences, and I died like 3 nights later, and then that led to my other character dying, my other character, and everybody died.
Everyone dies.
Because I stole from an old lady. I liked that. You know, that's a story I appreciate.
Take their shit. There's like this old apartment complex or something where if you don't notice, there says sniper on the wall, and if you go out there, you just get sniped.
Yeah, I've only done that twice.
It's so funny.
Three times.
It's so funny.
I just don't pay attention. I'm reckless. And so I walk right into that.
Pew, pew.
Yeah.
Pew, pew. Well, no, just
never
pew.
Never happened to me.
Yeah, one pew dead. Yeah.
Yeah, what are your favorite places to scavenge at?
Railroad.
The hospital.
Oh my God.
Just steal from the hospital.
Your people feel bad if you steal from the hospital.
Yeah. But there are not a lot of guards. You can do it pretty easily.
You can do it really easily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You also feel pretty good if you donate to the hospital. Now, can you maybe balance this out by stealing from them and giving stuff back? Yes, you can.
Yes, you can. Yes.
So, another instance where it's really weird this game sometimes.
Yeah. It didn't get quite right.
Yeah, and this is like maybe a bigger studio with more resources could do something.
I bet this is like 10 people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's an indie studio, but they're kind of big.
Okay.
This war is fine.
Because now they've made
this
Frostbite.
This war is fine.
See,
that's a good review title for this game. This war is fine. Yeah.
Just get some moonshine in you.
Literally.
Buy my cigarettes.
Yeah.
Buy my cigarettes.
This war is fine. Just need more books. Just get more books. You'll be fine. You'll get over the murder.
It's weird how consistently the barter person will come around. And just is constant.
Every two or three days.
Yeah. It's wild. It's just like there's a.
Always has a lot
big
of good
trade.
Stuff.
Yeah. Then that's another way, like, it feels like I can systematize my way out of this.
Yeah.
And this is like a problem I think I have with the studio now that I'm realizing it, because I just thought about Frost Punk.
Yeah.
A game you could also systematize your way out of. You can child
They also made Frost Punk.
Frost Punk goes, but at what cost? And you're just like, well, it's a video game.
Right. I don't care if I'm putting children to work. They're not real.
They're not real.
I have not played that game, but that is funny.
Yeah, just amputate them and put it back to work. I don't fucking give a shit.
Give them a robot hand. Come on.
You don't get robot hands in that game. You amputate limbs in that game.
You can get the prosthesis later in that same tree.
That's right, you can. Yeah. I forgot about that. I just don't care enough about them. Actually, no, it makes it easier. That's another thing. They do these things where it's like, man, the harshness of reality. And it's like, but we understand that friction can feel bad to some gamers, so we're going to get you out of this, though.
Later. Oh, yeah.
And that's what I don't like. I don't like...
Too many solutions.
Being scared of friction.
Yeah.
I shouldn't be able to survive every scenario. I should probably be dying every scenario.
I think if this game was built around failing,
yes,
then I think it would be way better off.
Oh, advancing things through failing.
No.
Not advancing. That. Advancing
just
this,
failing.
Well, advancing the progress of the story. Like, I think if they took more time with the characters, and with final consequences of the story.
Yeah.
I think if they took more time with that, then they could get away with dying all the fucking time. And that would be the point, is you die all the fucking time. In a modern siege, if you're in Gaza, if you are in a besieged settlement anywhere in the
world.
People
are just dying.
You're just going to fucking die when you have no way of defending yourself.
And the game really wants to project that this understands it, and I don't think it does.
It doesn't, no, because this game wasn't made by Ukrainians, it wasn't made by Palestinians, it was made by Polish people.
Right, and there's like Eastern European sieges, and I know like they're getting a lot of stuff from that.
In history, I don't know that these people have gone through some.
Oh yeah, I don't.
Maybe they have. Maybe I look like a big asshole right now.
Right, exactly. we can't know. Or maybe they had family or something, and maybe they're getting stored. It's like we don't. I don't know about that. But all I know is just like the way the mechanics work.
Yeah,
it just undercuts the message, and that's a bummer. But I have fun playing this game. I think it's a lot of fun. It scratches my base building brain.
Making me want to go play. Talking all about it.
Yeah, I was walking into this like, it wasn't that fun. And now I'm looking back. I think it's just, I was.
I think it's really fun.
This war is fun.
I'm thinking a lot about it.
This war is fun.
I was tangentially sad. I was sad for other reasons this month. And I think that's kind of rubbing off on it. Yeah, because it's not a happy game.
No, it's not.
This game doesn't make me feel happy and sad. Well, it makes me feel happy, actually, because I'm like,
What about when your character commits suicide because it's just...
Doesn't happen for me.
Okay.
I make them happy by making them get drunk or someone talking to them or playing the guitar.
Yeah, easy.
Easy. Yeah. You just solved depression with guitar.
Simple as.
This war, solved.
All right.
Should we get into questions?
Let's get some questions in our system. I'm not fucking doing that.
Yeah. Wow, you're gone for 1 month and you're just like obstinate.
You're the producer.
Oh, you know
I'm
what?
I'm the talent.
Our first question comes from Suzor. Ooh. What movie/show would you like turned into a video game? And what would the gameplay be like? We need a Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, visual novel. No to that? Wow.
I mean, that's your answer.
Yeah.
But sure. No opinions on that from you too.
No.
No opinion. I've been really obsessed with historical informative documentary style content regarding the 30 Years' War. I would love a Total War game that surrounds the 30 that like in set in the Total War set sorry in the 30 Years' War. There we go.
Total War 30 Years.
Yeah.
Total War 30 Years. Total War 30.
Yeah.
I want a Zack Snyder's Rebel Moon action game.
Oh. Jesus Christ. Wow. Like Devil May Cry style or like Bayonetta style action game?
Yes, with a bunch of these slow down fucking quick time event moments.
Witch time,
yeah.
It would work better as a game.
It would work way
better. It would work better as a game because it was also made in Unreal Engine 5. Yeah. Suzor also asks, what's your favorite video game villain? And what could be done to enhance that character?
Favorite villain
in video games?
I love Kreia. Darth Treya.
And we can't go into more specifics of that.
Yep, I just like that name.
It's a good name.
That's the only reason I'm giving.
A lot could be done with her, but...
King DDD.
Oh, King DDD rules.
Give him a jetpack.
Hasn't that happened?
No, just jet hammer.
Oh, right. Jetpack and jet hammer. King DDD in space.
Yeah. Space DDD.
Space DDD. Space Emperor DDD.
Oh, hell yeah.
Man. Favorite villain. This is the hard part. I'm having a hard part picking.
Oh, no. I rescind Dr. Wily from Mega Man.
What would you do to enhance him?
Literally anything. The dude's incompetent.
Wow.
Fuck, I know what I'd do. The dragon, Gregory, and Dragon's Dogma. And the thing to enhance them is we got to do a modern day, like, in New York City, Dragon's Dogma.
Oh, shit, yeah.
With Gregory flying around. Continuing on. What is your favorite video game hero? And what would you do to enhance them?
A lot of good ones from Suzor, thank you. Oh, video game hero. Travis Touchdown. From No More Heroes.
Would you finally get him laid?
I would finally get him laid to enhance him. Yes.
I don't really latch on to heroes.
Bayonetta for me, and I would enhance her by putting her in a better game at the end. Better Bayonetta 3. I would just remake Bayonetta 3 and do it right. If you don't got a hero, that's okay.
I just don't.
What about the Space Marines?
They're not heroes.
What historical moment would you like to be turned into a video game?
Oh, whoops. The 30 Years
War. You said that answer to movie and show.
There's. I've been listening to a podcast on the 30 Years War. It's a show.
That's a show.
Show I've been consuming. Hold on, but it has to be that podcast then turned into a game. What would that mean with the framing perspective?
No, it'd be horrible. I don't even want to talk about that. you'd be a podcaster sitting in a sweaty, gross room that's way cheaper than you can afford because you have a huge podcast, and you have a terrible mic, and you're trying to balance your sanity, and own political discourse in the modern world while also producing a historical podcast from a political lens.
Here's the pitch for me. What if it's like a getting over it style game where it's like it's you're playing the Total War game, but there's also a sad podcaster talking about everything, like commentating on it as you're playing it.
I can't imagine living a life like that.
like doing the 30 Year War discussion, but like as you're playing the game and like maybe you like move your forces like and they move their forces into the French territory. Like,
terrible.
Stuff like that.
Terrible.
I want a video game about the signing of the Magna Carta.
What would it be like?
Like papers, please.
Stamp, and then transporting it.
Yeah.
I want a Titanic game. I know there's a lot of games about the Titanic, but I would love a new Titanic
game. What about a Titanic murder mystery game?
I'm pretty sure
there is one.
There kind of is.
Solve the murder as the ship goes down, and then it doesn't mean anything anyway.
It's a spoiler. You don't know what ship it is until it's like, damn, I'm glad I got a ticket to the SS Titanic. I don't know what it's called. Her Royal Majesty Titanic. I don't fucking... Hilver asks, I can read or watch films about harrowing stuff, but I'm not interested in playing games with such grim subject matter. One reason for me is that games are less clear on the time required to be in that space. How does this game convey what an expected play session is, and do you have any good example of games that have well-designed play session structures?
Whoa.
Yeah, what?
So Hilver doesn't mind movies or shows because they're like a set length, right?
Right.
Oh, but, okay.
But like a game doesn't really communicate to you how much you need to be in this horrible stuff, which I think is, honestly...
That's interesting.
This game kind of does that in a weird way where it's like you can do a day, like a whole like day, yeah. But like it doesn't... There doesn't feel like any natural breaking points because it all just kind of loops into it each other. You can easily just play way too much.
Yes.
And you can go for 20 days straight.
Yeah.
I have. That is something that's happened middle of the goddamn night because I have a pretty irregular work schedule right now. There were a couple nights preparing for this podcast where I played a lot without realizing it. There really aren't natural breaks for it.
Right. Like, yeah. And it's weird because it really could be about the day. Maybe there's something that just, like, stops in between, like, your character getting back from scavenging.
Yeah.
And, like, leaving the scavenging place. Like, maybe if there's, like, another step, like a cool down.
Yeah.
And, like,
this is a shower.
I think you're always, unless... Outside of the deciding where you go to scavenge, you are always pressed to be doing something constantly in this game.
Yeah, constantly. Yeah. The timer's always going. Yes. I think this game doesn't break up play sessions like that, so this would not be a good one to do.
Yeah, there you go.
Do we have any good examples of games that do this, though? I think Papers, Please does.
Oh, yeah. Because it gives you a summary of the day that kind of feels like a finality.
Yeah,
before the next day starts.
Yeah, and you can stop right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, paper, especially, it's also kind of a hard subject matter. You know, a little Soviet phobic, but what can you do?
Yeah, I only ever play games that let me keep pressing the button to keep going. So
dopamine.
Yeah, so don't have a good example of that one. Sorry.
Man, Majora's Mask isn't.
I was going to bring that one up, too.
But it's a bad example. It doesn't have, like, a clear, like...
At the end of a day, but you can always just rewind.
Well, but if you save and exit out of that, you start back at day one.
True.
Oh, you know what's a good example? Deus Ex, because while you're playing it, you hate it so much that you don't want to keep playing. It's really easy,
it's really easy to just stop.
Fuck this, I'm not walking down this hallway anymore.
This is a good time to stop, when I'm not having a good time.
We played, like, one of the greatest games of all time. No, you all are just like, I fucking hate that.
I'm just razzing your berries, Faden.
Well, obviously, it's easy. that is it for questions. If you'd like to send us questions, find me on Discord or on Twitter. I'm at Faden Cross. If you know me, you can message me on Discord. If you don't know me, find me on Twitter. And I'm constantly asked for questions. Big reminder... If you're hearing this before the 13th or 14th of July, please send in questions for Paradise Killers. We got to do an early record time, so that one's coming in hot.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, which is our next month game, Paradise Killer.
Yeah. So
fucking going to paradise.
Ask us about that or something else.
Or something else like Suzor did. Yeah. Suzor asked great questions.
Great questions. Thank you.
Yeah, left-wing questions. Or left,
left-wing left, questions?
Left-field questions. Whoops.
Look, if anyone asks us the questions on here, it's unfortunately going to be a left-wing question.
Yeah. So send us your right-wing questions, and that'll be fun.
That'll be fun. If you're right-wing... Oh, wait.
Send us your radical centrist questions.
Oh, yeah. That'll be really
I'm a
fun.
Radical moderate.
Oh, yeah. Give me that.
If you're heavy right-wing and you torture me. Listen to this podcast. I'm curious why. I'm just like not in the sense of like don't listen. I like views. I'll take views.
Yeah.
But I'm just more just curious. What's in it for you here? Like, what would be in it for you?
Always something to learn from people who are different than you. Fan.
Yeah. Always.
Well, until next month. Goodbye, y'all.
Bye.
Nice knowing you.
Sorry, I got really loud.